Hello, I'm Art Schmoan, Managing Director of IWBC, the Industrialized Wood-Based Construction Conference, and I'm here today with Vaughn Buckley, CEO of Volumetric Building Companies. Vaughn founded Volumetric Building Companies in 2009, and the company has achieved phenomenal growth. In just 14 years, more than $1 billion in project value has been constructed utilizing modules designed, manufactured, or assembled under Vaughn's direction. Vaughn has received global awards for leadership and growth, and he's widely known as a visionary and thought leader in this industry sector. Vaughn, welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here, Art. Good morning.
Vaughn, I wonder if you could take just a few minutes and tell us about VBC.
Sure. VBC, the Volumetric Building Companies, is a vertically integrated global construction company that builds housing, hospitality, healthcare, and a variety of sectors in the multifamily space, including senior living, student housing, and market rate. And those projects are delivered in a vertically integrated fashion. So we design what we manufacture what we transport and install, and oftentimes we support our clients in the field to get those buildings ready for occupancy as well. So we're a fairly one-stop shop, delivering projects across the world out of factories in the US and the European Union. And we deliver to the UK, the Middle East, the continental US, and several countries in Europe as well.
I wonder if you could tell me, what are the most significant benefits that you offer versus site-built and versus off-site panelized construction?
Yeah, so when you think about what we do versus off-site panelized construction, it's really the value density of our product. And what I mean by that is that the components that we produce have sprinklers, they have HVAC, light fittings, toilets, cabinetry and casework. All of these trades that are currently very difficult to procure, they're expensive, they're not overly available in many markets. And so by moving that into a factory, we're able to produce a much higher finished product. And that allows us to have a lot more efficiency in the field when it comes to timing to complete. So some of our buildings can be delivered in as few as a few months from the time they arrive to the site.
When we look at sort of various regions of the country where volumetric modular is most attractive, what are the big drivers?
The biggest drivers of success in volumetric modular construction is the balance between the project site and the factory in two key areas. Labor cost and availability is one, and the second is the cost of logistics, transport, and automation to get it from the factory to the field. And if you balance those two items, you will find that you either have an efficiency improvement, or it may be neutral, and sometimes offsite construction may actually cost more money. So, for example, where this arbitrage works very well is when you're building in a rural area outside of an urban environment, but relatively close to it, and you have high labor cost and low labor availability at the project site, and the opposite at the factory. So good examples of this are in the Northeast, where you can build in central Pennsylvania, New York, rural New York, and be able to ship pretty much to the entire 95 corridor from Washington, D.C. through to Boston. In California, that same thing applies to the coastal areas. NorCal and SoCal and all of the areas along the coast there have very, very high construction cost and very low availability. So shipping into those areas often works well. There's a few other areas that are on the list, the mountains of Colorado, and certainly there's demand in Florida and Texas, but there at this point isn't high enough construction cost in my mind to see that as a sustainable volumetric market in the near term.
Okay, when we look at the offsite construction industry today, my understanding at least is that we have two basic segments, panelized and volumetric modular. How do you see each of these segments faring in the future?
Yeah, I think that offsite panelization is going to continue to grow. It requires the builders and the folks that are working on the projects to make decisions earlier in the process, and is really a fantastic way to get them used to the offsite process. They have to make sure that all of their architectural adjustments are made prior to the point that they release to production, and they have to be very well coordinated with foundations and structural hold downs on the project as well. Version control becomes really important on their drawings, and panelization is a great learning step towards volumetric modules. Oftentimes, we see clients that embrace volumetric having come from the panelized world. They understand that concept of offsite construction, and they understand the planning requirements that go into it. When we think about modules and how those units are received by buyers, oftentimes design becomes really, really critical to the success of the project. So where VBC likes to start engaging with clients is at the drawing table. We really want to be engaged and involved with that project at concept stage so that we have the highest opportunity for success when it comes to execution. And so when I look at those two segments, I see them as the amount of time, effort, and energy that's required in order for that project to be successful. I think panelized is a little more flexible on the project type and size and scale. You can make a decision to go panelized at many different points in your production process. For volumetric modular, I see that decision getting made much earlier.
Okay, in an interview that you did about a year ago, I heard you describe how the process of offsite manufacturing is the reverse of on-site building. That is to say, in a factory, you're building from the inside out versus site built, which is outside in. Can you amplify and tell us why the factory approach works better?
Yeah, sure I can. While that is 100% true that we build essentially inside out in a factory and outside in, it might be helpful to explain a little more on the reasoning why sites on a traditional project basis build outside in, and it's really weather. You know, on a construction site, you want to build the shell first so that you can start doing things inside the building that are protected from vandalism, weather, and water intrusion. So when we think about being in a factory under a roof, we don't have that same constraint. So what do we start with? We start with the things that take the longest. And when you're in a factory and you have a lot of labor and high efficiencies, where you really need to spend most of the time, or I should say where you cannot really save any time, is on the areas where you have dry time, right? Things that labor can't improve speed for. So that could be spackle or glues, grouts and tile, things like that. So we like to start with those items first because they're the ones that are going to take the longest. And that's why we end up working from inside out, because you'll find most of those things that take a long time to dry are the same things that are in the finished good or the final surface that your clients touch.
VBC has experienced phenomenal growth in the multifamily and hospitality sectors, but market share growth for offsite construction in general, when we look at the industry as a whole, has been far more moderate. Why is that?
Growth in the volumetric offsite industry is constrained by several factors. One of them, which I think is going to be the key to future growth unlock, is general contractors and their willingness to try something new, as well as understand and embrace both the risks and the opportunities that come with offsite construction. When we look at the construction industry in the U.S. specifically, the vast majority of it is performed by small businesses. And when you get into the larger construction companies, they control substantial portions of niche market sectors. If those GCs are willing to embrace the product, then we see growth very, very quickly. When we see those GCs resisting this type of product, and specifically we think about GCs, one thing they're very, very good at is risk mitigation, right? Their entire role as a general contractor is to mitigate risk down to the level where they can operate in safety of margin, something that general contractors have always struggled getting above single digits. And when you're dealing with single-digit margins, it can be very, very concerning to consider a new type of product that could bring you additional risk on your project. And so I fully understand why general contractors have struggled to uptake in offsite construction. And so the way that we approach this is by getting involved and engaged at the design level, putting more resources into the pre-construction side of the project so that everyone is comfortable that those risks are identified and mitigated earlier in the process. And working in partnership with those GCs, helping them understand how offsite construction is most efficiently built, exposing them to some of the projects that we've built, and allowing them transparent access to the expertise they need to be successful. And what we see after doing that is that those general contractors then embrace the methodology, they use it more, and we see market share increase. That's how VBC has grown, and I firmly believe that the offsite industry needs to work on the same path.
You know, it's interesting because McKinsey, in their reports, there was a sort of famous chart. I don't have, obviously, we can't show our audience this chart, but it was a chart that basically showed the value shift that they see occurring over the next 15 years through all of the various points along the channel. And one of the biggest losses of value or revenue was in the general contractor column. And so isn't that one of the issues for general contractors, is that really they're going to have a lot less to do if offsite construction really takes off than they did with onsite construction? They're going to have a lot less to do and therefore less revenue.
I think that is exactly why general contractors are concerned about offsite construction as an industry. But I think that the concern is misplaced for a couple of reasons. One is that when you think about the revenue generation of general contractors, we've traditionally benchmarked that as the success factor for GCs. What I think is actually much more interesting is how low margin general contracting is, and that it's actually not a very profitable industry in any way. It's actually one of the lowest profitability industries out there. It's one of the reasons why there's not a substantial amount of public companies in this space. We have productivity losses, not gains, in this industry year over year. We're losing people to other industries. We're not attracting new talent to the construction industry. We've created our bed and now we're lying in it. And ultimately, profitability is the main driver of that decline. So what I would encourage for all general contractors to think about is maybe not do I need to increase revenue, but do I need to increase profit? If I can do that on a nominal and a percentage basis while having less revenue run through the business, I can actually get more projects done. So a general contractor might be able to build 10,000 more units and do it at a revenue number that's actually very similar to what they had before, but be able to actually have more profit and more profit as a percentage of revenue than they've ever had in the past. And I think that's where we're seeing most of the GCs that are embracing offsite construction coming at this from that angle.
Interesting. It's also interesting, this is a side comment, that we see some general contractors out actually moving upstream in their business models. So for example, Swinerton has Timberlab. So they're actually moving upstream and starting to do some of the offsite fabrication themselves. Ellis Dawn in Canada is another company I know that's been looking at that same approach. On a totally different topic, Vaughn, how do you see climate change affecting your business?
Yes. So when we think about climate change as it relates to offsite construction today, the biggest impact to our industry is the regulatory impact that's coming, both sometimes from a government level, also from private market expectations for new investments. So we have a really heavy focus at VBC on designing our product to reduce the life cycle carbon that goes into our buildings to help reduce the impact that construction is having generally and VBC is having specifically on the environment today. So as of our most recent project standards, VBC has what we call a product blueprint for both wood and steel volumetric modular. It's the basis of design for how we build our buildings. We've determined that our timber volumetric blueprint has us at a 66% reduction in life cycle carbon over the UN construction benchmark for new construction. So what this means for us is that we are already 2/3 less emissions in the life cycle of our buildings. That includes the manufacturing of the building, the operations of the building, and the entire life from the time that we start at raw good until the time that building is disassembled. So 66% reduction puts us well ahead of the 2030 benchmarks in the UK and in Europe, and really shows that offsite construction can make a massive difference if it's deployed correctly.
For most of your history, you have framed your modules with lumber. However, in Tracy, of course, you had the acquisition of Polcom, and Polcom is constructing mid-rise and high-rise buildings, and so the steel frame, and that makes certainly good sense. But in Tracy, I understand you're also beginning now to frame in steel.
In Tracy, California, we produce wood frame modules on the East Coast at our Berwick, Pennsylvania facility. That plant has produced both wood and steel in its history. While we produce wood there today, I expect that we will have steel there in the future. And then our facility in Poland is entirely steel frame and produces only steel modules, which is really sort of demand driven. The UK and EU is primarily interested in steel frame product.
And do you see a trend occurring though in the future? Are offsite builders, do you think, and in particular BBC, going to move away from lumber and towards steel?
We don't see moving towards steel as a wholesale decision that is appropriate today. I think there are a lot of use cases for timber that are providing both the quality, the efficiency in production, the technology, and the cost that is necessary for our clients to be successful. Certainly, we see higher tolerances in steel. There's a lot more research to be done on the carbon impact on some of these buildings and the opportunities that are being brought by both green steel and then reductions in the steel itself through structural efficiencies, where I think that we may see steel driving further in the future. But today, there's no expectation from VBC's part that we will be out of the timber market anytime soon.
In Europe, a few companies have had success building volumetric modular units with CLT shells, cross-laminated timber shells. Do you see a future for that approach in North America?
Yeah, the EU markets that have primarily had success in those areas are those that have embraced wood. And the markets that have embraced wood as a building product are typically Scandinavian, and in some cases in Germany as well. But the primary buyers of product in today's market in Europe and in the UK and Ireland are driving very specifically towards a steel product. What I see in the US, obviously we've seen Type 4 come into play in the IBC and really start to promote mass timber and CLT. Could we see hybrid modules coming? I think the answer is absolutely yes. And I think there's really an opportunity for us to see buildings that are hybridized between CLT and light frame timber to create taller buildings that are not quite as tall as we can go with mass timber, but are taller than we go today with light frame timber. And I think there's an exciting opportunity here over the next few years to see how that plays out in the code.
What do you see as your greatest challenges moving forward, and what are your plans for the future, Vaughn?
Yeah, I think our challenges are not specific to us. I see them across our industry, and they primarily, today it's interest rates. When we think about the way that housing is being built, supply and demand is not something that is exclusive to industries outside of housing. There's obviously a huge demand for housing today and in every market that we build in. The supply isn't necessarily as easy to drive, and that demand wanes when the interest rates increase. So we're seeing the values of buildings that we produce that are commercial are lowering because the cap rate spread and the interest rates are going in the wrong direction to improve value for those buildings, while cost is still going up in many areas. So I think we're going to see a real relaxation in demand as we have over the last year. I think that's going to continue over the next 1 to 2 for market rate multifamily development. Which means that everyone in our industry is going to have to be ready and rely more on affordable housing, equity-based projects that are going up rather than ones that are more interest rate sensitive or highly leveraged like market rate and hospitality are today. And really see a shift. I mean, we've moved from 3 years ago, we were 80% market rate, 20% affordable, and that percentage is now the reverse. We're nearly 80% affordable housing and 20% market rate. So that makes us, and I think many folks in the industry that are experiencing the same thing, a very, very sensitive to both the interest rate environment and to government funding of social housing programs.
It's interesting. So much of the affordability in so-called affordable housing, though, is really dependent on the value of land, is it not? To some extent, and how do you get around that issue? I mean, if the land in some of these urban centers, as you know, the values have gone way up. How do you get around that issue and deliver true affordable housing?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is time. And what I mean by that is that, yes, the values went way, way up. They peaked probably a little over a year ago, and very little land has transacted in any urban environment since. Land is typically an under-leveraged asset class, meaning that we're not going to see as many foreclosures in land that we would see in buildings that have the same, you know, sort of underwater value proposition, which means that sellers simply don't sell. So what we're not seeing today is what the true value of land in urban environments is as it relates to the value of the finished building that could be placed on it. And so the only projects that we see really moving forward in this market are those that have been owned for a very long time and have a low basis. We're not seeing new land transact. And until that starts to happen and we see a reset in the value shift in the market, I think it's going to be tough for market rate to come back unless the interest rates drop precipitously, which I think we can all agree is going to take several years to do. We're probably not going to see a significant uptick in market rate housing. And sellers, as of today, are still burying their head in the sand and waiting for that value they had in 2021.
Well, what is the number one thing that folks should know when entering this space that will make them successful?
Yeah, I think that the primary area that folks have a tough time when they enter industrialized construction for the first time is preparedness for the project, because they don't know what they don't know. And ultimately, the team that helps them build that first project is the most critical piece of the puzzle. And in my mind, the most critical piece of that critical team is design. How a project is put together to be successful, to be manufactured, to be successful, to be installed in the field are the components of success that really drive good outcomes for customers. So my suggestion would be, if you're considering offsite construction, if you're looking at it for the first time, please don't look at your current project that's halfway through the design and entitlement stage and maybe there aren't easy changes to make to that. Start with a blank canvas. Meet teams across the country or across the market sectors that you're interested in looking at to make sure you're getting the right folks on board, but do so with a blank slate so that they can drive your success and get you the best outcomes. When you bring a project halfway through entitlement without flexibility for change, it can be a very, very challenging space to be in.
Fantastic. Well, Vaughn, I want to thank you for doing this podcast interview. I also want to thank all of our listeners. IWBC, the Industrialized Wood-Based Construction Conference, opens its doors in a week at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. To register, all you have to do is visit our website, iwbcc.com. That's iwbcc.com. And thank you.